Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
It's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate hours one guest, Bill Bender. Today's truest reporter, Bill Bender, Sporting News. He's fantastic. We talked a lot of Michigan. We talked some of Ohio State, and then we bounced around to the other division where there are, you know, less at least achieved programs currently. So appreciate Bill coming on. Brian Haydad from the Super Talk Network under Mississippi with Richard Cross. Appreciate his time as well. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Zach Barnett, college football writer, football scoop. He knows what he's doing when it comes to college, covering the sport. And then David Nuno from TexAgs.com as we discuss the Aggies. So certainly appreciate everybody making time and coming on. When I say all week, all year, it's all college football. All right, except now, because we're going to talk not politics, because I don't do that. Somehow, I don't know, buddy of mine in the industry was listening during the pandemic. Like, at some point, he was like, dude, can't even tell. I was like, well, when you just talk college football, what are you doing anyway in February, March, April, May, June, July? You're talking about a sport that doesn't play. Now, against the backdrop of, but they may not come back this time. I will say it's easier to talk college football in May and June when you know they're about to play. But whatever, we got through it because we don't really talk politics. And so I'm not doing that here. I'm just giving some real world just input. I don't even call it advice. But I will say there is a bottom line truth that's maybe never had more value. And I mean in sports or life. The adult world is a messy place. Which means you sometimes should concentrate on just the positive, whatever that is. And there's context and the backdrop and the details and yeah, but, and all that can be 100% valid and real and a thousand other things. And the adult world is a really messy place. So sometimes it's better to concentrate on just the positive. Every trade in my life I've ever seen for a basketball player has been like for draft picks or, I don't know, other players or money. Our government just traded the most notorious arms dealer on the planet for a basketball player. And Micah Parsons. Google, you know how I found this story? I Googled my computer. Micah Parsons, among plenty of other folks who came up, doesn't like the wildly imperfect details of this trade. Now, again, most trades I've seen involving players, it's for your player and then those two picks. This is different. Micah Parsons tweeted out, still not voting for you. He's talking about Joe Biden. Still not voting for you. He's like, we left a Marine? Wait, no. If you don't know, there was also a Marine who has been in conversations for prisoner swaps, Paul Whelan. He's a retired Marine veteran. He was not involved in this exchange. He got 16 years in 2000. Was 16 years in Russia? It's a different 16 years. So he got espionage charges. I have no idea what he was doing. I have no clue. Because, again, I say I don't talk politics. I go the other way. I just – there are other folks way more qualified. So I'm just talking about life and mindset. And so Micah Parsons, who went on Twitter, Good or not, Micah Parsons went on Twitter, says, whoa, wait a minute, we left him a ring? I get it. He's right. If you don't know who Brittany Griner was traded for, Brittany Griner's, she's on a plane, she's headed home. And as part of the deal, an international arms trader, nicknamed the Merchant of Death, he was sent back to Russia. Like, he's killed Americans. That's beyond, like, he'll tell you he's done that. Like, his version is he's done it. Brittany Griner had some vape oil. So there's your trade. And Micah Parsons, among plenty of other folks, he doesn't like it. And he says, still not voting for you, Joseph Biden. So then he follows this up and he says, my last tweet was not a shot at Brittany Griner. Super happy. She's back, headed home where she should be. Says, I have family who served. It's crazy to me the president wouldn't bring the Marine home too. So there you go. That was Micah Parsons, who, again, I'm saying, among plenty, and I didn't know Micah Parsons had done that. I had gotten onto Twitter and down the sideline and then other news sources, and I was like, all right, I'll Google and I'll just see what comes up, and I'll pick one. So there are a lot of folks who are pointing out that, wait a minute, we're getting a basketball player back, one of our citizens, and that's really the part you need to concentrate on. Or no, excuse me, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want. In that this is now done and final, it may help to realize the world, the adult world, a really messy place. So Micah Parsons went on Twitter and he had to defend himself, et cetera. Now, when I say an international arms dealer for basketball player who should have never been detained, never arrested, never charged, never processed, found guilty, or taken away for even 1 minute behind bars. Like, here's a piece of paper. You owe our government $350. That's punishment for what she did. But she got 9 years in a Russian labor camp. So everything about this is messed up, including the terms of her trade back here. It's supposed to be for a point guard and two draft picks. It's for the guy who, like, sells cruise missiles and such. And the adult world is a really messy place, so sometimes you correct what you can, you take the W you can, and I know about setting precedent and getting, I swear, and you move on. So this is one of those where the entire situation, so beyond normal. And it's just really a kind of a reflection on the world upon which we live currently. So that's where we sit today on this Thursday. Going to take a quick break. Come back, more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
There is a...
walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Free word phrase.
You can say there's no such thing as Santa.
That sums up the shifting sand beneath college coaches and GMs, because you have those in college now. Our good friend Barton Simmons, I used to do TV with at CSS Comcast back in the day. He's GM at Vanderbilt. A lot of people go, Ed Reed, wasn't he GM at Miami? Figure it out. You got to figure it out. When I say the shifting sands, I'm talking mainly about roster. It's roster management. It's so much me. It's player acquisition and player retention. The less time recruiting, more time coaching. And so if you're able to keep players on your roster, so there you go. But you better figure it out, because you don't have a choice whether to participate or not. Dabo Swinney, so many things that he has, you know, I'm going to stand on this rock, and good for you, Dabo. But you got to figure it out when it comes to the portal. I've talked about this before. In every sport, there has been a version of when player movement became allowed. Now, if you are Matt Lair, he's on the ones and twos. How old are you, 30?
I think I just turned 38.
You're 38. Okay. So this is normal for Matt Lear if he was born in 1984. So by the time you're like six or seven, you kind of have gone to games and you realize those are pro athletes and those are my favorites. And then they kind of change teams. And so that's what it is. But then by the time you're 9 or 10, you actually start to follow and you understand. So for all of Matt Lear on the board today, the engineer, all of his life, there has been player movement. Really, the first sport this came to was Major League Baseball. And it was the mid-70s. It took a court case. And then Major League Baseball said this one guy right here, this one guy is a free agent. And the next year, there were two. Then you had a free agent class. Do you know what? There was a draft. Like, Reggie Jackson is a guy who's in the Hall of Fame, and his contract expired. So he was put into the free agent draft. Only five teams could draft negotiating rights. That's not real free agency, but the players jumped on it. And so you had a draft, and after Reggie's name had been plucked by five teams, he was like, half these teams can't even afford me. And I still don't want to play there. It's not the point. But the Yankees were one of them, so he went to the Yankees. So whenever there is that monumental shift in player movement, there are entities who say, I'm going to ignore the market. I'm not going to participate. Almost always what happens when you say you're going to ignore the market is the market ignores you. And so there were some teams that said, we're not going to take part in free agency. And so the first year, like the Cincinnati Reds said, we're not going to sign free agents. You know what they did the second year? They signed free agents. There were teams that when the three-point shot came to college basketball, we're not going to use the three-point shot. Second year, they used three-point shot. You got to figure it out when it comes to the portal. And if you can set aside, if you're a coach or a GM of a program, because we have those now, folks, you got to set aside whatever the big picture ram. What are we doing to our sport? What are you doing to your employment? When it comes to the portal, well, one of your fixes for quarterbacks, figure it out. Well, welcome on now, Zach Barnett, college football writer, Football Scoop. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing all right today. I was talking about the coaching game and movement and I guess we call it the coaching carousel, and that is one of your specialties. Let's talk about movement and the most high profile, at least. I mean, it's got to rank near the top because if you would have said this a couple of years ago, it would have been so inconceivable. What is Deion Sanders at Colorado? What is it? Give me an outcome there.
I mean, we live in a world where Ed Orgeron won a national championship. College football is rapidly moving toward an age where relationships matter more than the X's and O's ability of the head coach. And I'm not saying that Deion can't win an X's and O's battle against the, you know, pick your Pac-12 head coach. And I'm not saying that, you know, having a strong X's and O's head coach doesn't matter. I'm just saying that it seems like we as a sport have come to view the head coaching position as not necessarily one that should go to the best coordinator. It's a different job, and now it matters more than ever to get the right people in the boat. And Deion has shown an ability that, frankly, I didn't think he had to get the right people in the boat. And so if he can do what he did at Jackson State in Colorado, then, I mean, Colorado will be competing for Pac-12 championships sooner rather than later.
All right. Talk about Auburn and just Hugh Freeze, not in comparison to Lane Kiffin. He's a coach somewhere else. What does Auburn have in Freeze?
I mean, they've got a guy who's consistently shown that he can win in college football. Obviously, he beat Nick Saban twice at Ole Miss, although the tactics that he used in 2014 and 2015, they won't work in 2023, 2024. He's going to need to, you know, continue to develop and to push the envelope schematically because, I mean, he's even admitted they're well behind Alabama in terms of talent. And so he's got to continue to evolve and continue to grow as a head coach. And, I mean, he won at Liberty to a degree that no one had ever won at Liberty before. And so he's got to continue to do that. Otherwise, you know, Alabama and Georgia will swallow him up the same way they swallowed Brian Harsin up.
All right, talk about either – you can drill down and talk specifically about Louisville, but if you want the big picture of Louisville losing its head coach in the way it did, but then this time around able to go to Purdue and get Purdue's head coach for a homecoming, just tell me how you view the Louisville program, because I can't figure them out. I would have sworn when they entered the conference, I was like – they're a dark horse. They can make something happen, and it's just weirdness.
Yeah, I mean, that program seems to consistently rank pretty high in the self-inflicted scandal department. They might, you know, they might be in conversation for number one when you're talking AD football basketball combo. So in terms of the football program, and as we sit today, I think Louisville won the trade. I mean, it looks to me like Cincinnati got together and decided, you know what, we're in the Power Five now. We've got Power Five money. Let's act like a Power Five program and take a Power Five program's head coach. And they went out and got Scott Satterfield. I think Louisville won the trade. Jeff Brohm is a consensus 25 head coach. I don't think Satterfield. I think Satterfield would struggle to stay in the top 50. I mean, he's been a 500 coach at Louisville the past 3 years, and Jeff Brohm just took Purdue to pretty much the highest highs that Purdue can reasonably reach. So it goes to show that fit is an important thing in coaching, but so is timing. And it didn't work out in 2018, but right now the timing is right for Brohm to come back home, and Louisville got it done.
Opinion on Tom Herman. I'm looking around going, folks, we're supposed to be really making a big deal about this. He's a head coach again. There are folks listening right now who are like, wait, Tom Herman got a job? I'm like, yeah, he's a head coach again.
Yeah, some coaches make a concerted effort to stay in the public eye after they move on, and he did the opposite. He took an off-field job with Chicago Bears. He worked some games with CBS Sports Network that weren't seen by a whole lot of people. And I mean, he's never had a losing season as a head coach, and his winning percentage is somewhere around 700. So if you're Florida Atlantic looking to hire an established head coach, you did really well there. Although it's going to be interesting to see, you know, he had his guys that he brought from Houston to Texas and cycled through most of those guys. I don't think anybody, there might've been one guy maybe that was still on his staff that started in 2017 that was still there by 2020. So filling out his staff will determine, you know, his success at Florida Atlantic. And I know he's hired Ed Warner, or he's retained Ed Warner, who's had good days and bad days at the highest level. So I think he can win there, but I don't think it's guaranteed.
I want to ask you about Matt Rhule, but not as far as him being the hire or the coach, because I think it's a good hire and I think he's a good coach, especially on Saturdays. That's an 8-year contract. Why are ADs feeling compelled to give coaches 8-year contracts when today's player has never been less concerned about how long the coach will be there?
Well, in this situation, Matt Rhule had all the leverage. I mean, he made it clear he wanted the job, but he didn't need the job. He could have sat and played 18 holes a day at Greater Charlotte's best golf courses for probably for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was still owed 40-something million by the Panthers. And so they would need to clear the deck for Matt Rhule to feel like he could be successful at Nebraska for him to take the job. And an 8-year deal was a starting point for him. And then there's also the fact of, the fastest way out of a ditch is to stop digging. And so at some point, I think Nebraska, you know, they pick their guy. And at this point, if you're, you know, let's say you're 4-8, 5-7, 5-7 with another coach, you'd think, all right, well, we're not getting it done. We need to pull the trigger and start this process over again. It's time for Nebraska to dig its heels in and be like, you know what, we're going to give Matt Rhule, realistically, we're going to give him 6 years, which is an eternity in this sport. And we're going to be with him for the good and the bad, and we're going to save ourselves from ourselves by kind of tying our hands to this guy.
Wrapping up today's Truist reporter, Zach Barnett, college football writer, football scoop. Zach, Trent Dilfer, again, if you DeLorean me back a couple of years, I would have said, this can't work. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. What's your opinion on this?
This one, I mean, I'm way more bullish about Deion at Colorado than I am about Trent Dilfer at UAB. I mean, he's got the coaching experience at Lipscomb Academy in Tennessee. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be an expert about Tennessee high school football, but I can say that Lipscomb had advantages over its peers in Tennessee that UAB would not have over its peers in the American Athletic Conference. And I mean, that's a program that's done well, that has the advantage of being, you know, in the number one college football market in the country. But they're moving up a class with a guy who's never done it, who's never recruited a player in his life at the college level. And then he went and hired Alex Mortensen as his offensive coordinator, who's never been a coordinator at the college level. And so I'm sure I watched Trent Dilfer's press conference, and if he's listening to this, he's pumping his fist because he thrives on challenges and he loves to prove the doubters wrong. But you can count me as one of the doubters.
Final word, just a quick flyover. Brent Key, Georgia Tech. It seems, I mean, it makes things a lot easier for the accounting ledger, and everybody has a first job. I mean, I'll give you every disclaimer possible. I look at this as a guy who knows Brent, and I'm like, this might have needed to be more, but what is your opinion?
You know, I was really happy for Brent Key to get that job. I don't know him personally, but I watched his press conference when he left Alabama for Georgia Tech. It was really, you know, from the outside appeared to be a lateral move. And nobody makes lateral moves from Alabama to Georgia Tech unless you have really good reason. And so I watched his press conference when he got there a few years ago, and the passion that he had for Georgia Tech was obvious. And he's not this, he's not that, but he elevated the team that he took over from Jeff Collins in half a season or whatever it was. And he has an immense passion for the program. And I hope for his sake that can wear off and he can build a team of talented football players that are half as passionate for Georgia Tech as he is. Because if he can do that, he'll succeed in Atlanta.
I certainly appreciate your time today, man. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Zach Barnett again, college football writer, football scoop. Get him on Twitter at Zach Barnett. So this is the state. He has never been a head coach in a full-time level, and he's at a Power 5 school where there's a pretty clear line between who can win and who can't right now. So that kind of works for him. But he has to fight recruiting battles with every major program in America in his backyard to get anything. And there are academic challenges, so that's just another thing you got to overcome. So that's what Brent Keeney needs to figure out.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. And I've said for decades, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Crystal Cheeseburgers. But I know what they are. And something that I give Crystal credit for figuring out, you got to make your product available. And be honest, why do you go to Crystal sometimes? Because they're open. Because you can consume the, you have to make your product available to consume. And Crystal's like, are we the best burger? We're the available burger. Well, TexasAgs.com, yes, they've done the same thing as the Crystal Burger. They made it even more available. Dan says there's a new app. Want to welcome on from TexasAgs.com is David Nuno. David, how you doing? Is there a new app, a new way to consume the product?
Yeah, we actually caught up with 2022, believe it or not, for so long. We've been doing this website thing, which is great and all, but all the youngsters, they like apps. They like to swipe. They like to get alerts on their phone, and we finally caught up with the times, and we started our app beta form right now, but it looks great. Just launched yesterday.
Fantastic stuff there. So, again, TexAgs.com, you know that, as well as now there's an app. Welcome David Nuno on. All right, let's just kind of traverse. We can take this 15 different ways because if we go back to, say, kickoff of the regular season finale for Texas A&M, everything that we thought was going to be the situation this offseason, it really didn't turn out, or it's not turning out that way so far. Big win against LSU, and let's talk about where they are now. Story comes out that Jimbo being fired was never on the table. I didn't suspect that was on the table anyway, even with a loss to LSU. Start there. What is your understanding of that whole story? Because apparently it's a story.
To be honest with you, you're breaking that story to me. I didn't even know that was an article out there because, you know, I don't really consume a lot of A&M stuff that isn't our own because I just don't. It's just not what we do. So I never was under the impression that Jimbo's job was on the line this year. Were people disappointed? Absolutely. But, you know, Brian Kelly had a 4-8 season too. Like these things unfortunately happen sometimes to elite coaches. This year was a comedy of errors, and trust me, you know, you couldn't predict anything from the kind of season that they had to the dust-up with Nick in the off season to really winning at the very end of the year the way they did, the most complete football game that they played all year long. They waited for, you know, maybe the best team that they played this year. So, no, I didn't believe anything about Jimbo. Are there fans? Were there probably some Border Regents people that, you know, were considering it? Sure, that's every program. People, especially after games, want to fire everybody. That's normal. But I never, under my mind, ever thought that Jimbo's job was in jeopardy. Had they lost to UMass? Well, that might have opened things up, right? Like, but after App State, after a bunch of the other losses, no, I didn't think his job was in jeopardy.
Okay, I apologize if I haven't seen this. Has Jimbo hired an OC yet? Because last I've been out the past 2 days with the flu. Does he have an OC yet? Because I have not seen that, and I've looked.
No, he doesn't have one yet. You know, the leaders in the clubhouse, if you will. Well, Longo took the job with Wisconsin. Yep. He was one of the guys that they were interested in. Dan Mullen is a name that I have been told that they're very interested in. Obviously, Garrett Riley at TCU, Grimes at Baylor. Those are kind of the names you're hearing. Billy Lucci mentioned that, you know, maybe they would go after for some other names out there. You know, Bobby Petrino was a name that was interesting. I don't know if that's going to work out, but I think they've zeroed in on Garrett Riley, potentially Dan Mullen. Grimes, again, would make sense as well because I think his style would fit with what Jimbo has done in the past.
All right, let's talk about what every coach has to deal with. Whether your season when, I mean, it was good, bad, dead, or buried, you got to deal with the transfer portal. I saw that Chris Marshall, who former five-star, he is in the portal. Obviously, if you're on the A&M roster, you got talent, and so they've had their fair amount jump in. Who is the, like, you're looking at a kid and go, that was a ball player. That's going to affect them. Just walk through the transfer portal because there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so first off, they've, you know, what is it? I don't know, 18, 19, 20 guys on the list. It's a lot. It's a lot. But it's probably less than people thought and most of them are not marquee names, or they're mostly depth guys. And that's what the portal should be about. When you go 5-7, you lose players. By the way, when you go 10-2, you lose players as well. It's just part of the way it works in today's college football world. Tomisi Adeleye, a defensive end who was injured, got hurt, did not play a bunch this season. That was a name that kind of caught me off guard, as did Andre White, a starting linebacker for A&M. Those are a couple of names. But nobody really left the program so far, and yeah, it's very early in the process, that stings. It does sting your depth, but the opportunity is there to replace that depth with somebody better or somebody just as good. And I think you're seeing that at Alabama and other places as well. This is what the portal is all about. The ones that do hurt, though, are the guys going to the NFL, and they're guys that we expected to probably leave. I was hoping Jalen Jones, the cornerback, would stay another season, but when you're getting second, third-round grades from NFL scouts, why not go? Devon Achain, obviously everybody knows how talented he is and the kind of year he had with a bad offensive line. So, you know, he leaves, but then they pick up Reuben Owens the next day, which was nice to see them from a commitment standpoint.
Yeah, that, you know, L.J. Johnson's a guy. He's a four-star running back. And you just look at a kid sometimes and you're like, all right, that might be a ball player right there. And, I mean, Jimbo thought the same thing, and maybe he is, but he's in the portal as well. But as you said, they get a commitment from a five-star kid. Reuben Owens, who is the number one ranked running back, and he was the kid that had committed to Louisville over name, image, likeness. Is that correct earlier?
Yeah. Yeah. So he actually initially was going to choose A&M. Then he chooses the University of Texas. He commits from the University of Texas, picks Louisville, stays with them. They have the coaching change, obviously. And then Jimbo, you know, now that there's no bowl game for A&M, he has time. He goes visits with Reuben the other day, the same day that Devon Achain mentioned that he was going to the NFL. And they're able to close him, which is, you know, with 2 weeks before signing day, a lot can still happen. But it was huge. Speaking on L.J. Johnson, he's a guy that left really the program weeks ago. This is not new. He wasn't playing quite a bit. He wants more playing time. And so is it a loss? Sure. You know, L.J. Johnson is a loss. But we weren't really relying on him anyway because he left at least, what, a month, 5 weeks ago.
And also there's another five-star, David Hicks, who was already committed as well. Talk about Devon Achain, just real quick word. How do you project him on Sundays? Because he's going to the draft, so how do you project him? Because, again, everybody looks at the same thing. He ain't that big.
No, he's not that big, but he runs a lot stronger than people think. I actually talked to a couple of draft guys here over the last couple of weeks, and they think he's going to get a second, third-round grade, depending on how the combine goes for him. His size is going to be something that is discussed, but very dependable guy, does not miss a lot of time. Very strong, and he's also a guy who has great change of direction, and the NFL is moving more towards these kind of players anyway. So while the running back position is not as valued as before, I would not be surprised. I would guess the third round, not necessarily the second round because of the running back position, but he's going to be a guy that you see a lot of highlights from for sure.
All right, last thing, and this is going to be just projection, and he's not part of the A&M program anymore, but Jimbo knows quarterbacks, and he picked Haynes King twice as his starter. Two August in a row, he picked Haynes King. I was told when the kid signed his letter of intent, oh, my gosh, he's tall and he can fly. Maybe the best athlete he's ever had. All this stuff about him. Can he play quarterback in college?
I hope so. I really like the kid. He's very tough. He dealt with a lot of injuries this year that people don't know about, you know, just to get out there and play against Auburn. I mean, he was huge. I mean, this guy is a big, strong kid, but I think he's got to work on his mechanics and he's got to go to a different system. It did not fit what he's supposed to do. And I still don't think he's got confidence in his running because I was told he was the second fastest player on the team. We did not see that frontline speed this year at all when he was scrambled. We did not see it. He did not look like he was almost beating Devon Achain. So I think he still needs a little bit more confidence with his knee, and I think he needs to go to a better system. And to Jimbo's credit, and also maybe sometimes it may hurt him a little bit, he's so loyal to guys, and this guy stuck with Jimbo, and he stuck with him, and it just didn't work out.
David Nuno, appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, brother.
All right, David Nuno. Get him on Twitter at David Nuno and TexAgs.com. Now, the Jimbo being fired, ooh, if they lose to LSU, I would have told you the week before. I was like, well, I think they are going to lose to LSU. So let's go ahead and let's talk about it as if it's happened. Okay, they lost to LSU. They could fire Jimbo. No, you said could. They could fire Jimbo now. Before the game, I said, let's talk about it as if it's happened. Because it's easy to say, hey, you know, if this happens, then this other could. Let's talk about it as if it happened, because then it made it real. Real was $94.5 million. Brand new version of the 10-year contract that he signed, I believe, before the 21 season. Dabo got his 10-year deal before this season. So Jimbo got his 10-year last season. So I never thought, and here's the other thing. Jimbo, he is a good coach, like a really good coach, I believe. Now, is he a program transformational sort of, I don't know. Urban Meyer has been. Nick Saban has been. Kirby Smart, well, he's one for one. Is Jimbo Fisher that? Here's what I know. I don't know. And I'm supposed to. He's been a head coach in college like 10 years. Here's what I, actually longer than that. Here's what I know about Jimbo, though. Here's all I can tell you that I know. For 2 years, he had a generational talent at quarterback and an NFL team around him. And by the way, that's not – if you go back and look at the Florida State team that started the 2013 Rose Bowl, all 11 players on offense, all 11 players on defense made it in the NFL. So – is Jimbo a really good coach who for 2 years had a generational talent and Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback? Or is Jimbo like Nick Saban and Urban Meyer? I think Jimbo's a really good coach. So I didn't think he was going to be. And when you say, all right, was he a really good coach? We're Texas A&M. We're supposed to be great. Are you? You hadn't won a conference championship this century. You barely won a national championship last century. I think I won. Maybe in the 30s, I think. So you're just not – I know what you want to be, but there are the words we say about ourselves, and then there are the realities of our actions. And Texas A&M's actions over the course of their existence on the football field have been, by and large, good to above average. That's it. Hardware, man. I got to see it. Bonfire. Hush. Great pregame tradition is not it. Reveille, yell leaders. So all of that is real and great and awesome, and I don't mock any of it. It's not the same as national championships. What's your tradition? Yell leaders. What's your tradition? SEC titles. So that's just what the program has been. And Jimbo, when you say he's been really good, and you add in the money that you still owed him, that's part of the reality. Would he have been replaced if he were Kevin Sumlin? If that were his contract, and you could get, if you could get out of Jimbo for $10 million right now, Jimbo would be fired. So the combination of, and here's the other thing, if you really knew to a certain degree, 11th commandment, that Jimbo was the wrong guy, Jimbo also would be gone. The fact that Jimbo is a good coach and the pain factor from the money was real. Okay, that combined made it easy for you to go, yeah, we're good. We're keeping Jimbo. And that was with a loss. So, all right, we're going to take a break. Wrap up on this Thursday next.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Football is a game of matchups, and Ohio State has a quarterback. This is probably the best quarterback Georgia's played since they've seen Bryce Young. They've got a dominant receiver, and Marvin Harrison Jr., probably the best receiver Georgia's seen since Jameson Williams. And they've got a lot of five-star guys that if they're properly motivated and they have an intent to prove something, they can do it.
Mike Griffith, Dog Nation. It was SEC Nation for a couple of years, and they had everybody, but then it was Dog Nation. And so that's worked out for him. Mike Griffith, Dog Nation. He does a lot of recruiting as well for Dog Nation, I believe. And he was on with Jocks in Birmingham, says Ohio State be a very bad draw for UGA. Ooh, Ohio State being scary. And they are. Everywhere he said is accurate. Now, you got to block for your quarterback if that's what it's going to be about, and they can. They really can. You've got to be able to run the ball if it's unless it's going to be real bad for your quarterback, and boy, they can, especially if they're healthy. And I got to imagine between now and New Year's Eve, they'll be healthier. They're not getting – we had somebody – who were we talking to earlier? It was a Bill Bender, that Marvin Harrison Jr. may be the best receiver in America. I'm like, I don't think he's as good as the guy who's not playing on his own team. But it just shows you, like, if Jaylen Waddle, like, do you realize he was a higher draft pick than the other receiver on Alabama who won the Heisman? Devonta might have been the second best receiver on his own team. So it happens sometimes. Or maybe Jaylen Waddle was. Says Ohio State be a very bad draw. It is a – it's I've said this, go back a year, actually a year and a week. It's the most fundamentally unsound approach possible. Block it up, see if he can make some plays downfield. Whew. All right. Now, they've got the personnel to do it. And as Mike said, maybe since Jameson Williams in the SEC title game, not championship game. Not national championship game. So that was Mike Griffith. And I got to say, I agree with a lot of it. So appreciate him coming on today. Great day for guest. Actually, he was on with Jocks in Birmingham. David Nuno from TexAgs.com. Appreciate his time. As TexAgs.com got a brand new app. So all you got to do on your phone, you push a button. Boom. There it is. Zach Barnett came on and shed a little light on the coaching carousel. Football Scoop is where he does his work. Bill Bender, as I said, from Sporting News, as we stayed a lot with the two Big Ten teams. That's nice to say, isn't it, for them? The two Big Ten teams that are in the playoffs, Michigan and Ohio State, and then also bounced into the other division for a couple of their program. And I mean top to bottom. P.J. Fleck got him a new deal, new 7-year deal. We talked a little bit about Purdue. We went all the way down to bottom, and we didn't really talk Northwestern. We kind of talked Pat Fitzgerald. So appreciate him. And then also Brian Haydad as Mississippi State. Folks, there has never been, and I mean possibly, like never been more right going on in Starkville than right now. An SEC program is achieving at a historical level there. That's Mississippi State. It's never felt like less. Well, historical, what? Mississippi State plays Illinois in a bowl game. Clash in styles, for sure. Mississippi State is going to its 13th straight bowl game. Until that streak started, the program had been to 13 bowl games ever. At more bowl games each December now. I get it all, still. And it looks so inadequate compared to what's happening upstate with the Rebels. That is just one of those things that is about feel and what's next and who. And so that's just what we do. I've told you, get yourself into Hooters, get your pair of tickets, hotel stay, downtown Atlanta, New Year's Eve. Got a semifinal game and you can be at it for free. Courtesy of Dr. Pepper and Hooters, you enter on your phone inside of Hooters, the Hooters TV screens. And if you hashtag out Hootersville to your social media, you drinking a Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper and Hooters will say you get another entry. And so, again, it's a pair of tickets, hotel stay, downtown Atlanta, December 31st. Dan, how is your Thursday?
Oh, man. You know, I've got a friend who probably a little clueless at times, probably a bit self-absorbed, probably, you know, also too. There's
Dan,
many other ways.
I'm back today. I'm in the room, man.
I know. No names. But there were years ago where me and a bunch of my friends, we were talking about, we got to confront him. Like, you know, the way
he's intervention?
Pretty much. Yeah. Just about, you know, just let him know, like, the way he's acting is just not as an adult. It's just incredibly annoying, all these different types of things. And God rest his soul, we had a buddy of ours named Sparty. His name was Mark, but we called him Sparty. He went to Michigan State. And he passed away a couple of years ago. And he was kind of the wise one of the group. And he sent back in the group text, he said, the man is in his late 30s, early 40s. If he is the way he is right now, guys, he ain't going to change. So here's what you can either do. You can either decide to just accept him for who he is, for his flaws and everything that makes him the friend that he is to you. Or you can just say, you know what, I'm done with him and I'm moving on. Those are the two options you got. And of course, we were all just kind of like, yeah, I guess that ends that conversation. So long story short, no intervention. That's Mike Leach. And some people out there might say, you know, with Dylan Johnson's, you know, just very unique graphic that he threw out there that, you know, Mike Leach, he's soon enough going to lose everybody and he's going to move along. If you ask Mike Leach, he probably says, okay, good. I'll just go back to Key West and live out the rest of my life as the way I really want to live it out. And that is as a Pirate. I like coaching football. I love coaching football, But the truth of the matter is if any of you out there think that you're going to intervene Mike Leach and try to get him to change, remember, too, he got so tired of a player who was being basically forced down his throat at Georgia Tech that when he had – or excuse me, at Texas Tech – that he, when he had a concussion, he put him in a dark room just to prove a point of, you know what, I really just don't have time to deal with him. I don't want him here. I don't want to deal with his father. I'm going to coach the guys that I want to coach, and I'm going to coach them how I want to coach. So again, anybody out there, if you're trying to think to yourself, oh man, he's going to be out of the game, Mike Leach might just say, all right, fine. You know what? Just give me my checks and I will go down the Key West. You can find me at one of the bars. I'll be wearing nothing but open-toed shoes and Tommy Bahama shirts and living out the rest of my days. To him, you talk about the life on the beach, that is the end of the line for Mike Leach. He doesn't care.
It really is. And it's funny that you also had Leach on your mind today. We were talking with Brian Haydad earlier, and I wanted to point out, like, they actually won the Egg Bowl. Like, they got the dub this year. And if you look at just the general reaction and just, yeah, close your eyes. Who's got more going on, Ole Miss or Mississippi State? Well, okay, I think, you know, we can agree that there's a lot of excitement and well-placed excitement and headlines. And they finished with the same record this year, didn't they? Like, as far as wins and losses, that's all. I'm not talking about projections. They are truly standing shoulder to shoulder with Ole Miss. And if you took just a close your eyes and tell me who's got more going on, I think 95 people would say Ole Miss. No, they wouldn't even say Ole Miss. What would they say? Lane. They would respond, Lane. Who's ahead right now, Mississippi State or Ole Miss? Lane. Good for the Rebels. All right, wraps it up on this Thursday. Back tomorrow with more college football conversation from the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.